That's not a look you give your teacher.
Your eyes have such hunger. Your soul is starved and your flesh is famished. Tell me, Miss Klim, do you want relief? Yes, Daddy.
Yes, Daddy Vlad, we do. And those are our quotes of the day from
Gothicana by Runix. Is that how you would pronounce it? Runix?
Oh, what a fun name.
Right? I wonder if that's like a just a, what
that
do you call
can't
it?
Can't be her actual name.
I don't know.
Could be like a pen name.
Yeah, pen name. That's what pen I was thinking. Name.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gents, we were thinking about what should we talk about for our updates? And we thought, you know, our life isn't exciting. Let's do tarot cards instead.
Yes, because our main protagonist is a tarot card reader.
She is. So I have for you guys today one of my tarot decks. It's called White Newman, a Sacred Animal Tarot.
Mm.
And I really like the art on it.
Yeah, it's really pretty.
So Haley, why don't you go ahead and pull a card?
Okay.
Pull a card, any card.
I'm going to go halvesies.
Go halvesies. Live your bestest life.
Oh, okay. I have the King of Wands.
Ooh.
And it looks like a king. He's, you know, he's dressed in his Mighty King outfit. And he has a little snake friend. And he has fire magic.
Ooh. Okay, King of Wands. So I have a book that kind of like gives you a description. Most of these tarot decks come with a little book with descriptions. But with this one, it doesn't actually give you a description of what the card means. It just gives you a description of the art of the card. So it'll like describe the card.
Okay.
Okay, so for the King of Wands, do you want to be read either how that like demonstrates you as a person or you as a situation?
Maybe a person.
Okay, so King of Swords or Wands. I think, is that right?
It's Wands.
It's Wands, but oh shit, no, you're right. Okay, so this says, gosh, it's kind of long. Let me give you the gist. So the King of Wands as a person. All of the tarot kings are masters, but it's important to remember that the essence of this king, the element of fire, still runs through his veins.
Okay, I like that.
He has been where the young courts have been and can empathize with their need for excitement and haste. Through experience, however, he knows that there are times when it's beneficial to control both.
Hmm.
As a person, this man can tap into the new and profitable trends and can also foresee ways that they could be used to his advantage with a little time and planning.
Well, I hope that's good because we have a podcast and it's relatively new.
Hey! What do you know?
I got fire in my soul.
You have fire in your soul, but you're also, like, you've been through life and you're wise and you know the things now.
I can use my experience, my wisdom, to get what I want.
Yeah,
that's
there
what
you
I'm
go.
Hearing. That's what I'm hearing. All right. I like that.
That's
I like
pretty
that.
Good. All right. Shall we switch?
Yeah, let's switch.
You have the book, and essentially, it's broken down. Okay. Like, each page is a different card. I'm going to do the same. I'm going to go halvesies.
Okay. Well, that's like 3/4s.
Well, whatever. I cut the deck. I got 10 of Pentacles.
Ooh, okay.
And the card has, you guessed it, 10 Pentacles.
What are, is that
pentacles
like a pentagram?
Like coins.
Coins, okay.
Yeah, it's a coin with a pentagram on it.
Okay.
And then there's like three dogs that are playing through the grass.
All right.
And
so
I'd like to know, so there's like on that book, it's like as a person or as a situation.
Got you.
I'm gonna do it as a person. I'm gonna copy you.
I'm first going to give you some keywords just to get in your mind, okay?
Yes.
Stability.
Oh.
Foundation.
Oh.
Financial security.
Damn, good for me.
Inheritance.
Yes.
Family ties.
Interesting.
Okay. As a person, this person is described by the 10 of Pentacles. You will feel safe within their own. They will feel safe within their own skin.
Yes.
It is likely they will be in both good health and good wealth, feel supported, and be comfortable. I like this. And it says, you could be living off the wealth of someone else. Sugar daddy.
Fay daddy.
Fay daddy. It might manifest as a rich kid who drives around in a car their parents bought them.
Hell no.
Or maybe it refers to someone who received a more than generous divorce settlement from their ex.
Oh, shit. I have to say, I've never been divorced.
This is interesting. That's not what I expected for the Ten of Pentacles to mean.
No, so I'm, like, wealthy in life and in finances.
And you're just, you're well supported all around. I like that.
That's pretty good. I like that. I think my favorite thing about that was, like, the I feel comfortable in my own skin. Because I always feel like since I was a kid, it's hard growing up as a woman.
Yeah.
In America.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I feel like I've always been very lucky in the fact that I've always felt comfortable in my own
That's
skin.
That's awesome. Like, really nice. I envy that because I knew people like that. They were comfortable. They didn't have self-esteem issues that were, like, you know, would hold them back from things. And I honestly can see that with you because I think one thing for me was, like, the theater stage kind of stuff would freak me out because I just didn't have the confidence to be able to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting. I wonder how that manifests, like, as a kid, you're growing up.
I know. I don't know how, but I'm so fucking grateful for it because I have so many friends who did not grow up comfortable in their own skin, and it's a fucking rough world out there. I don't know.
It's
but, yeah, I did theater in high school and in college, and I remember, like, for me, I was not, like, I was always, I think, comfortable in my own skin, but I was never, like, it was internal, not so much external. Like, I was very much a people pleaser and try to do what other people, like what I think other people would want me to do and things like that. And it really wasn't until, like, college that I finally was like, you know what? Fuck what other people think.
Yeah.
I'm going to be who I am. So.
That's awesome.
It's very interesting. Yeah. I don't know. Ah, what fun card.
Right?
And
now,
look at you. You got fire in your soul. So are you Fireheart? Shout out to Throne of Glass.
Yeah, shout out. I like that. I feel like I'm a fiery, passionate person these days.
I think you are. It's been really quite lovely to see.
Yeah, well, thank you.
I think we, like, have been so burnt out.
Oh, my God.
And so, like, over school and over life
and
just, you know, getting bogged down. But I feel like you found something you're passionate about and that you're like, fuck it, I'm going to fight for this even if others don't.
I do feel like I've felt some growth more recently, and it's, like, really nice because, like you said, it's, like, really hard when you just feel like shit all the time and you're just hopeless. And then you want that spark that you used to have, and it's like, maybe that's finally coming back, which is cool.
Oh my gosh, look at this, like, fucking
self-discovery, right?
I'm like, you know, we were like, okay, let's do tarot card reading in the beginning. And that's why I love tarot. Like, for me personally, I never, like, believed in the, like, magic of tarot card, but I really believed in the, like, introspective, like, I don't know.
It's just, good to reflect,
like, a meditative
and
reflective time. And especially when you do it with someone else and you get to do that together.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
No, I think it really is. And I think it's so good because it just, like, it can trigger any kind of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's awesome. Well.
Wow. Good for us. Shall
know,
we,
right?
Roll the intro.
Let's roll the intro. Welcome to Fae Babes, the podcast where we delve into the enchanting world of fantasy romance.
Join us as we explore magical realms, fall in love with fae daddies, and tell you what the fuck is happening in these stories.
So grab your favorite book, a cozy blanket, and let's embark on a magical journey together.
Because who needs reality when you can lose yourself in a world with magic and shit? And we're back. I didn't know that it was recording for a second, but it was.
Okay, so what are we talking about?
Today we are talking about Gothicana, the standalone novel by Runix.
This is described as a dark fantasy academia romance.
I do love a dark academia.
Me too. It's such a vibe. I'm thinking, like, adult Harry Potter, you know? I like that vibe.
Absolutely. And I love the art.
Oh, my
Kaylee
God.
Kaylee always does the best notes because she puts, like, these beautiful fan arts, like, next to our notes that I get to, like, stare at for the podcast. And, wow, let me just tell you.
I'm so envious of the, people's talent.
I know. I wish I was creative.
Even the cover of the book is really pretty.
It is. Mm-hmm. I like this image where it's like she's a, you know, that card I'm trying
it's
to
like a
like
movie, right?
Hmm?
Is it a movie you're talking about?
Well, no, just like the general card trick. But I know what movie. Like, the Now You See Me.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, where you can like take cards in one hand and then.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And then
cool.
It goes to the
I
other
like
hand.
That.
I'm sure I explained it really well. Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
So let's get into this shit.
Let's. So this book starts out as kind of a prelude as a child's perspective. His name is Vlad. Or is it Vad?
Or is it Vad? Shit. I think it might be Vad.
Yeah, it's Vad. You're right.
What is that short for?
I think it...
Vadimir?
No, I think it... they never say, like, I think it's just Vad the whole time, right?
Mm.
I'm thinking Vlad, like, Dracula.
Yeah.
Okay, so his name's Vad. At this point, he's a young boy, and he's at, like, an orphanage of sorts, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
There's a creepy old woman who, I guess, lives nearby. I don't know if she works at the orphanage.
Yeah.
But she's, like, one of those old creepy women that look like old haggard witches, you know, yeah. that you're kind of scared of, but you kind of respect, too.
Yeah. Also, I would like to just say it's currently raining outside.
Yeah, such a vibe.
And we're drinking hot chocolate, and it's, like,
I know
the stars aligned
right?
for us to pod on Gothcona right now.
It's such a vibe, and I love it.
It's so good. I love it. Yeah, so it's a older hag woman, and she knows things.
Yes.
And she essentially tells him, you will find purple eyes at the castle no one goes to.
And of course, what the fuck are you talking about, old lady? That's cryptic. I don't understand any of that.
And who has purple eyes? No one.
Yeah.
Unless,
I don't know.
You know who does have purple eyes? Rhys Ans.
Yeah, he does. Oh my god, that fan art.
Ooh, what a daddy. What if he is the true Fae daddy?
Should I get colored contacts and just get purple?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they'll be like very dark because my eyes are so brown.
Yeah, but that would be, because then, honestly, like, a beautiful, like, light lilac would be so cool, but a dark purple that, like, you have to really,
right?
like, take a like, second glance yeah. to be like, wait a second.
Was going to get, like, a green vibe because I really like the green-red combo.
I do love, yeah.
But I have not gone to an eye doctor.
It would be very Slytherin of you to get green contacts.
Yeah, I'd be a snake.
I'm a snake.
Okay.
Anyway.
Years later. We have our female protagonist introduced.
Mm-hmm. Corvina?
Corvina.
Is that how we say it?
I like Corvina.
They have very, like, it's very dark academia name.
Yes.
Which I love.
Me too.
So she lives with her mama, mm-hmm. and they live in a small town. And essentially, they're kind of the outcasts
yeah.
of the town. The town rumors that her mom's a witch.
Yeah.
And they are very secluded.
They're kind of, and they, yeah, and they are unique.
Mm-hmm.
They, I think her mom sometimes will talk to herself,
mm-hmm.
right? And then they interact with animals in a different way. They talk to them, and they're often seen with crows and things. And so, like, people mm-hmm. are kind of scared of them, I think.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's, at the beginning of the book, and I didn't really read too much into the book of like what it was before I started reading it. So I think what this book does a really good job of is I feel like us as the readers, it's hard to figure out what the world's normal is for
yeah.
this book.
Yeah.
Like, is it normal? Or which is normal?
Right.
Or which is not a thing
yeah.
in this world? Are they talked about? Are they not? I felt like we were always in the dark.
Yeah.
This whole book.
Yeah.
Which I usually hate. But I think, I don't know, I probably just sound old. But like, as I've gotten older, I love the ambiguity
mm-hmm.
of books.
Yeah. It makes it a lot more mysterious. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of think about it more. It's not like
yeah.
obvious. Yeah.
It gets the brain going
yeah.
a little bit more and trying to figure out.
I agree.
Hmm.
So, because they're not really liked too much, Corvina kind of grows up isolated, and
mm-hmm.
she's homeschooled. So really, she only interacts with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, like we were saying, her mom talks to herself, but she also hears voices. And then it's reported that Corvina also sometimes hears voices, too.
Mm-hmm. But again, we don't really get much information about
yeah.
it. We don't really...
It's very vague.
It is very vague. So then we have another time jump, and now Corvina is, I'm assuming, I forget how old
she is. She's 21, I think.
Oh, you're right. She is 21.
She's a little older than the rest of the class.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah. So she's 21, and she receives a letter from the University of Verinmore. And essentially, it's a university that's kind of ish close, but it's like out in the mountains.
Yeah.
It's secluded. Mm-hmm. It's a very like...
It's a spooky place.
Spooky, hard to get into, exclusive.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors about it.
Mm-hmm. And she essentially is referred to the university through the Morning Star Psychiatric Institute.
Interesting. Okay, comments on this. So when I first saw this, I was worried.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm like, okay, how are they going to intertwine like psychiatric illness?
Because mm-hmm.
they already mentioned hearing voices, right? So you're thinking, okay, schizophrenia, psychosis, whatever. Mm-hmm. But we still don't really know what the vibes are. So at first I was a little worried, but
yeah,
you know, I think as it goes along, it kind of does a good job with like meshing them together.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. So we're kind of just thrown like, okay, so she was at a psych institute.
Yeah.
What for?
Right.
How recently?
Mm-hmm.
How long?
Yeah.
We don't know.
And where's her mom? Like, we don't know right now.
Yeah. Cause we haven't heard about her. So one of the things that's interesting about Corvina is she has violet eyes, and so did her mom.
Woo!
So interesting, because it makes us think about that kid
yeah.
who was told, oh, the purple eyes at
yes.
the castle. We're like,
expecting him to show up at some point, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I would say probably most likely.
So, some of the rumors about Verinmore are that people go mad.
Mm-hmm.
Like students or faculty, there's a lot of people hurting themselves, like killing themselves,
mm-hmm.
And then people going missing. So that's not great rumors,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's not a great rep for
no.
a university, for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't put that as an advertisement.
No, no. So Corvina essentially is like, she grew up so secluded,
mm-hmm.
and she's essentially like, us and any person listening to this podcast and the fact that she loves to read.
Yeah.
She, when she was young and even now, wants to meet like a boy, like in her books.
Mm-hmm.
But she's essentially had very little interaction with any men.
Yeah.
And so she's like,
this could be a new change for me,
yeah.
right? This could be a new path, a new journey.
New chapter.
Yeah.
Maybe a chance to start new.
Yeah.
What from? We don't know.
And she's used to rumors. Because, you know, of all the stuff she grew up with her mom. So
mm-hmm.
I think she kind of is like, we don't really know. We can't really trust rumors. So maybe that's another aspect of it, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she's more open-minded because of her past and how... What?
The next.
What is the...
She wants to be claimed.
Oh, yeah. She
so
does.
Her books, right?
Yes. She probably is reading the, like, werewolf mates
mm-hmm.
and vampire mates.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Mates and soulmates.
Yeah.
And she just wants to be ravished. She wants to be put up against the wall and just claimed.
Yeah. She has no experience, outside of her books.
Well, you know. So, fair enough, I guess. So she does end up deciding to go to the school.
Yeah.
So she gets her stuff, and it's one of the schools where you live there,
mm-hmm.
And the housing and whatever shit. And she is placed in a room where she gets a roommate, and her name is Jade,
mm-hmm.
and they become roommates,
yeah.
and they quickly become friends.
Yeah,
Jade's
super cool.
She's really chill.
Yeah.
She recently took, I think, like a year off school,
yeah.
because she had a friend at the school who killed themselves,
yeah.
And it was like a really big shock to her, and so she took time off, so... Corvina, just for being who she is already kind of seen as, like, the weird girl, the, like, mysterious girl. Like, you know, people are talking. And Jade, I think, also a little bit has that background
yeah.
with, like, her friend killed herself
mm-hmm.
and things like that. So, I think they kind of quickly connect because they're used to, like,
yeah.
going against people, not giving them time to
yeah.
understand.
And it sounds like, based on, I think, what Jade has told her about Verinmore briefly, is that... A lot of the students at Verinmore have unique or strange, mysterious backgrounds in
mm-hmm.
life. So it kind of explains why they would have recruited Corvina.
Yeah. And so we get a little bit more information about Jade. So it was her last roommate was the friend who ended up killing herself. She was a foster kid. She was super happy. But then she started dating.
Yeah.
Or sleeping with.
Yeah.
It was more sleeping with, not so much dating. Mr. How do we say
Deverell, I think.
Deverell.
And he's one of the professors
at
the school.
And he's still there.
He's still there.
And so Jade is very sus of Mr. Deverell and was like, my roommate was fine until she started dating him.
And
what
then
happened?
She fucking offed herself. So
yeah,
what?
So I would say that's a pretty fair red flag.
Yeah.
For sure. maybe throw a couple red flags in there.
And what she learns about Mr. Deverell is that he's a professor, but he's still a student because he's like in graduate school or something.
Yeah. So it's like she's working on her, I guess, bachelor's and he's working on his PhD or some shit.
And he's super, super hot, but he's very,
he's very broody.
He he's cold. He's mysterious. You know, he's the types that women, you know.
He's everything we love in a book boy.
Right.
A book boyfriend.
Yes.
I'd say.
And he's also described to have silver eyes.
Yes. Silver eyes and like a silvery streak in his hair. Which like.
It's a vibe.
I think in my head is really hot.
Yeah.
But like sometimes the fan art of just like that one. It just gives me like, I don't know, like 90s Frosted Tips vibes. And I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah. I don't know if it would be pulled off outside of like a vampire like setting, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
for sure. Yeah. But Vad or whatever his name is, Vad just sounds weird, like a vat.
It's
a
bad,
vat
man.
Of what's it called?
Vat
of like the fat they make for soap, lard.
Oh God, no!
I don't know why my mind went.
What
there,
if his name was Lard?
Then he would not be my book boyfriend.
His name's Vad. Get over it. Okay.
All right. Whatever. Anyway.
Oh, something that she starts to notice, right, is like these weird flickering lights, mysterious like things that she can't really explain in the corner of her eye. And she doesn't know how to explain it, but she's just noticing things. She's not really focused on it, but it's kind of happening sometimes.
Yeah. So another, we meet another character, kind of.
Yeah.
His name is Mo, and he is the voice in Corvina's head.
Yeah. So it's not voices. It's, like, specifically a man's voice.
One voice. It's a man. She says she's been hearing him, like, her whole life. And she calls him Mo. He's never said, hey, my name's Mo.
Yeah.
But, like, he, I don't think they're, like, having full conversations. It's, like, he says, like, passing comments or warnings or things like that. He's kind of, like,
protective.
He's a protector, I think. Yeah.
We also learn that while she's unpacking her stuff in her room and everything, she unpacks her tarot cards. And
I love it.
I know, right?
I would love to get a tarot card reading.
So she's kind of, she's a hobbyist, you know, she does them for she does readings for fun. It's just something she's passionate about. And while she's kind of unpacking her stuff, she lays them down and she like turns her back for a second. And when she looks back, there's a card that is revealed.
Yeah. It's the death card.
Ooh. That's spooky, right? That's spooky.
Yeah. It's definitely spooky. You know what? I'm going to, in my tarot book, look up.
Ooh, let's look up the death card.
Because there's definitely times when I've been like, you know, I don't do it seriously, but I've drawn death.
Because I'm wondering, I think what I've heard sometimes is that it's not necessarily death of a person, but it's death. It could be death of a relationship. It could be death of, you know, something that's not necessarily a life.
Yeah. So, ooh, I like this. The so this is from the book I have. The reputation of the death card often precedes it. If you've ever seen tarot depicted in a film or television program, chances are that the card came up to predict someone's unexpected demise.
Ooh.
This has resulted in it being the most feared card in the tarot deck and the reason why many might naturally be fearful of receiving a reading.
That's true.
It provokes the question that so many people ask a tarot reader before a session. Does death actually mean death?
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Like, okay, let's see. When considering whether death card mirrors real death, the short answer to the question is yes,
but this might not be in the way that you imagine. The card is a symbol of endings, and if you think about it, we go through many changes in life that result in the loss of relationships, jobs, or the end of a particular style, lifestyle. Mm. For example, when two people get married, they experience the death of their single lives, but we hope this is a happy loss. Right.
Yo.
I like that a lot.
I oh like it, God. But it does make me think about getting a tarot reading that I would maybe be a little bit spooked out if I got that card, right?
Yeah, of course.
Even though I'm not like, you know, I don't necessarily believe in the mysticism of tarot readings, mm-hmm. but still it's like, it makes you uncomfortable, right?
Yeah, no one wants to be like, oh, well, someone's gonna die.
Yeah.
You, a loved one.
Like if I got a fortune cookie
relationship.
And it was like, a death will be had in your life, I would be like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, maybe it's just the death of my burnout.
I do hope.
You know, maybe it'll be good. But yeah, that's really cool.
So that's spooky, right?
Mm-hmm.
A weird omen.
And this is her first night at the university.
And speaking of nights, Varrenmoor's kind of spooky at night. It's very quiet, right? And it's everybody typically stays in their room because it's dark, it's creepy. Just, you know. Really should just be sleeping, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But
she, I don't think, is asleep. Either she's asleep or she
is
like
woken, right? Okay.
To hear some, it gives me very Phantom of the Opera.
Yes.
Vibes.
Oh my God, yes. Especially
she hears
that.
Some Phantom of the Opera. That's like one of my favorite musicals.
Oh, same.
Have you ever read the Phantom of the Opera book?
No.
It's really fucking creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Phantom, you know, I think we all like to glamorize the Phantom. And, you know, Gerald Butler.
He's creepy.
Come on.
Yeah.
Cutie. But, like, in the book, it's described as he's gray. Like, his skin,
oh,
it's so
mottled.
Like gray.
Dead.
And he has red eyes. And he's much more of a fucking creep in the book.
I mean, even in the play, he, like, fucking kidnaps her and tries to...
Yeah. But he sings pretty songs, so it's okay.
Yeah, that's true. He's got a great voice.
I do love Phantom of the
Opera.
But
so does Patrick Wilson. You know, the other love interest.
The one that she ends up with.
Yeah.
With Christine. Also so funny. I don't know. Did you ever see Shameless?
So I do know what you're talking about because the actress is the main character.
She plays fucking Christine. It's incredible. I love seeing the like complete dichotomy actors can play.
Yeah.
To play Christine, this innocent thing, and then play, I forget her character on Shameless.
Yeah.
But it's
I
awesome.
Watched, I think, the first season, but I didn't finish.
I didn't because it was so fucking emotionally brutal.
Dude, it is.
I think it's I made hard. It a season, and I was like, I can't.
But
I can't.
Think I've heard it's really good, but and I believe it, but damn.
Anyway,
here's some music. Beautiful piano playing out in the hall, coming from somewhere.
From the tower.
And she's like,
the highest tower.
Does anyone else hear this or is it just me? Because she's noticing that, her roommate's not awake. Two, she doesn't hear anyone else being awake. So she's wondering if this is normal or what, or if she's just hearing things.
Mm-hmm. It is really interesting because both, I think, Corvina and us as the reader, when we come across instances like this, aren't sure if this is real or more imagined.
Yeah. So she decides to go out and seek the source of the music.
She sure does. And she finds Vad at the piano, lost in his music, and she opens the door and is like watching him, and then he gets pissed. He's like, ah, go away.
And she doesn't know who this man is yet.
Oh, she doesn't.
Right.
She's just a man.
Because she hasn't gone to class.
Oh, right. Hasn't met him.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so she goes up to like this tower and it's like very isolated and she peeks around the corner and he sees her, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then he has silver eyes. And then I think she puts it together.
She's like, this must be La Professeur.
Yeah. So she runs away because it's like awkward.
Yeah. It's like, oops.
Yeah.
I just saw you on what looks like a very private moment.
That you're sharing with the whole university.
Yeah, it's like, come on now.
Yeah.
But whatever.
She goes back to her room, and that's the end of that.
Mm-hmm. And then we get some more information. We find out that every 5 years, the university puts on something called the Black Ball.
Mm.
And every time the university has put the ball on, people have gone missing. And what do you know? This year is the year of the black ball.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah it is.
Mm.
So Corvina then the next day goes to class.
Yeah. And he teaches Mr. Devereaux, is his name. He teaches some kind of like history class, right?
Is it history? Or
English.
I think it's
English.
Literature.
Yeah, it's literature. You're right.
Which
you're
I
right.
love.
You're right.
Yes, daddy.
So of course.
Teach me about Macbeth.
Of course, you know, he's a handsome fellow.
He sure is.
So
he's a hottie McHottie.
She definitely has eyes.
She
and
does.
She sees his handsomeness. And for the first time for her, really,
mm-hmm.
she feels a little sparkling of something.
Sure does. A little sparkles in her loins.
Her loins are on fire.
Like, what is it every time? I mean, I'm listening to Throne of Glass right now, and it's more of a PG book mm-hmm. when it comes to sex scenes. And it was really, it's funny because it's like, there's pooling heat in my core.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God. So that's what's happening to Corvina.
Yeah, she's feeling lust for the first time in
she
her
sure
life.
She sure is. And what's awesome is that Mr. Devereaux has little nicknames for her. He calls her his little crow.
And why does he call her little crow?
I don't
because
remember.
Because her name, Corvina.
Oh, means crow?
He says it means crow, and then she's like, actually, it means raven.
Oh!
Yeah.
That's what I put there. And
damn, I'm going to name my firstborn
Corvina. Right.
That is a badass
yeah.
name.
So yeah, he picks a nickname for her, Little Crow.
That's so
Isn't
cute.
Isn't it cute?
And of course, like, he definitely, I think, feels some sparkles in his loins,
mm-hmm.
too.
Yeah.
I think we should just call it sparkles
yeah,
in the loins.
Yeah, I think so.
Or
I like
loin
that.
Sparkles.
Corvina is a very beautiful woman. She's described to have very good style. She has very long, dark black hair.
Mm, yeah.
So she's hot.
She sure is. So Corvina, she likes going outside. She's an outdoorsy woman.
Yes, she is. One with nature.
She is. And she does love the crows.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's one day that she's just, I think it's like very woodsy around the university.
Yeah.
She sees a crow that seems to be leading her somewhere, so she follows it and ends up finding a lake.
Yeah, and she follows a crow. Like, her and her mom used to feed crows when mm. she was younger, and it was just like you're always supposed to respect the crows, you know, it's just a part of her upbringing. And she gets to this lake, and she sees a man standing alone by a tree, and she comes up upon him. Without realizing. And who is it?
Mr. Devereaux.
It's Mr. Devereaux.
Mm, mm-hmm. Daddy Devereaux. Standing there all beautiful with his beautiful white flock of hair. And he tells her, stay out of the woods, the little crow.
Oh, shit.
Mm, Daddy Devereaux,
what are you doing in the woods?
Why don't you want Corvina to see?
Yeah. And she's making her way back, right? She's mm-hmm. She's leaving the woods as told.
She's like,
all right, Daddy. She's a sub. No, I'm kidding. I don't.
kind of a little bit.
A little bit.
I mean, he definitely is very dominating.
Yeah, she needs to be taught.
She does. She's just a little innocent. It's very much the like trope of she's like inexperienced
yeah.
but wants to dance with the wild side, and he's experienced and wants to show her the light. You know?
Yeah.
Or really show her the dark
yeah.
corners.
Mm. And while she's making her way out of the forest.
Making my way out of the forest because Mr. Devereaux told me so.
She's basically sprinting out of the forest.
Yeah.
She hears a voice in her head. Or? I don't know.
Or is it not?
I don't know. It's a feminine voice.
Mm-hmm. So it's not Mo.
It's not Mo. It's a different voice, which she usually doesn't hear other voices. And
mm-hmm.
the voice says, help me.
Yeah.
That's fucking creepy, bro.
What creepy?
Creepy.
And again, I think it's like, even Corvina is kind of like us as a reader, where she doesn't know if it's real or not.
Yeah. And she's wondering, is this just my brain being weird? Or
yeah.
is this a sign?
Right.
Yeah.
She doesn't know. So she goes back to class. Life resumes, and this is where we get the beautiful quote that I read at the beginning. That's not a look you give your teacher.
Yeah,
there's tension.
There's a lot of tension.
It's not just let me say it this way. It's noticeable by everyone in the class.
Yeah.
They're not hiding it. No. And it's not like a little inside tension that only they two hear.
Right.
Like, even Jade is like, Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. bro. I feel the yeah. sexual tension from two rows over.
Yeah, they're putting on a show.
They sure are.
And, yeah, she, like, goes up to turn in a paper or something. And he immediately starts flirting.
Mm-hmm.
But he tells her that she needs to steer clear of him, stay away from him. Mm-hmm. He's not a good influence. And he's
I'm
her
not a
teacher.
Good man.
Not Corbina. A good man. And I'm your teacher.
Yeah, I am. So then we get some more creepy backstory. So the university is pretty secluded, but there is a nearby, like, small town.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear, Corvina hears about a story where in the past, students would go out and kill the villagers.
Which, that's interesting.
That's, sounds
straight
pretty
up murder.
Bad.
Yeah.
And they called them the Slayers.
That's real bad. Like, bad reputation for the school.
It's not great.
I don't know how they haven't buried that.
Yeah. It's, it's not, like, if, it's just not good.
Yeah, not good.
No, big creepy. It's definitely adding to the creepy levelness.
But you know what? Corvina is not creeped out easily.
She's so fucking go with the flow.
Yeah, she's very confident in herself, and she's not really scared of much. And even though she was told to stay out of the woods, she's like, fuck that. I'm going to go in the woods. I like the woods.
She does. And she loves exploring, which honestly, fair. I mean, I just imagine that this, like, the forest surrounding this university has to be fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
And just, like,
oh, yeah.
really cool to explore. Well, she ends up finding some ruins.
Mm-hmm.
And on the ruins is a fully intact piano.
Yeah.
And she also finds some unmarked graves.
Weird, right?
Weird.
There's graves in the forest. There's a piano. And she's not supposed to be in the forest. My first thought was like, is he a werewolf?
Oh,
like,
really?
Stay away from me. I was thinking Beauty and the Beast a little bit, where like he's like
yes.
a monster or something.
I like it.
Well,
there's many different types of monsters, Haley.
Oh, I know.
He could still be a monster.
I am learning. So, one day, she's studying in the library.
Mm, yeah, she is.
And she's, you know, deep in the stacks.
She sure is.
And who comes up behind her?
Mr. Devereaux.
And he's like...
He's like, this tension, baby. I can't fight it anymore. I'm not a good man. I'm telling you now, I'm not a good man. And I shouldn't. And we shouldn't do this. But God, I just... Your purple eyes and your black hair and your curvy, unused body. I must have a taste. And so he shoves her against mm-hmm. the library books, which, please, be kind of... Honestly, no. Worth
yeah,
whatever
it's
damage
worth it.
Is
it's worth it.
The books get... And he's like, I just need one taste of you. One. And then never again. This is all I want from you. And Corvina's like, ah.
Yeah, she fully gives into this.
She's
and
like, hell yeah.
She's like,
along for the ride.
I'll take more than one taste if you want. And you know, they have a very passionate kissing, touching session, but it doesn't go further than that.
No, because they're interrupted.
They are interrupted.
I think it's like someone comes in or there's someone
yeah.
nearby and he's like, ah,
he breaks
I must
away.
Go. Disappears.
Never again.
Never again. That was the one taste. The one taste of you.
So another
spoiler
another
alert.
Evening. Yeah.
I don't think it's the one taste.
I doubt
but,
it.
You know.
Another evening while she's out with friends, Jade and a boy named Troy, who mm-hmm. is of their friend group. And some of his friends are out, and they decide to go in the woods because they've noticed that Corvina's going in the woods, and they're like, well, damn, she's brave. We can be brave, too.
Yeah.
So they go out all into the woods together, and they stumble upon a abandoned shack,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, strange, right? And I think they peer in the window or something. Corvina's already got bad vibes,
yeah,
right?
I think it's like
the
door's locked.
The door's locked.
From the outside.
Mm. Oh, right, yeah.
And it's like maybe a light was on or something. She's like,
it's sketchy.
Something's wrong. Something's not good about this.
They have a feeling or they see something that's weird, and they all basically bust ass out of there. They leave. They flee.
Yeah, they're like, no, we're out of here.
Yeah,
outie.
And then you know, around that night, she has a nightmare, and she dreams of all kinds of things that she's kind of experiencing, like Mr. Devereaux.
Daddy Devereaux.
The ruins that she stumbled upon, some of her tarot cards, and
maybe the kiss.
Oh, right. Yeah, she's definitely dreaming about that. I mean, that wasn't a nightmare, but...
Right.
And I think she's just getting a weird feeling that she's maybe on the verge of discovering something or something. There may be a message is trying to get out to her or something.
Mm-hmm. So the next day, it is her birthday, and she's been long awaiting a letter.
Oh, right.
And so she, I think, tries to go get the letter, and then, long story short, she needs to go into town, which is a long drive. And Vad's like, I'll give you a ride. And she's like, what kind of ride, Daddy? He said, a ride in my car, baby.
Literally, she goes to this office, like, you know, the administrative office, and she's like... Oh, yeah. I need to make a phone call, whatever. And he just comes up behind her because he's, like, eavesdropping. He's like, I'll take you.
Yeah, I'll take you downtown, baby. So on the car ride, nothing sexy happens on the way down. She actually opens up to him about her mom.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of what it was like growing up and stuff like that.
So they kind of have a bit of bonding that isn't just sexual. And... she's dropped off at the post office, and he goes to do whatever, you know, he was going to do in town. And she hears some more rumors from some of the people that work. There's a lady that works at the post office, I think, and she's just talking about Varenmore and whatever. But then he finally picks her up, and they are on their drive back, and there's a raging storm. And they have to pull over to the side.
Yeah, it's because it's like, since it's driving up a mountain, they're afraid of like rock slides or some shit. Yeah. So they have to pull over. And of course, Devereaux is like, I can't get attached. And he's like, okay, just one time, let's fuck. So they fuck in the car.
They fuck in the car, and like, he's very much... He keeps saying this is never going to happen again, but then he just escalates it. It's like, hilarious.
Okay, and
then
why do you keep coming back to her?
Yeah.
Come on now. Who are you fooling? No one. So, of course, it's just the one time. And then I don't remember how this happens.
So, I think at one point she accidentally mentions the name Mo.
Oh, yeah. And he gets really jealous because he's like, who's Mo?
Right.
It's a man.
Right.
You know, who is this guy in your life?
Yeah.
Where is he? And she's like...
She doesn't tell him anything because she thinks that he'll think she's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fair.
Yeah. So they go back, and, you know, of course, Devereaux's like, this is the one time. But one of the guys in her friend group named Jax, I don't know if he actually has a crush on Corvina. I think he does.
I think he does, and he's seen around her a lot.
Yeah, he's giving her flirty vibes. And Corvina, of course, is not interested. But, of course, Devereaux gets really fucking jealous, and he's like, has he fucked you yet? He wants you.
He's very aggressive.
It's like, why are you so obsessed with me? I thought I was a one and done, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not.
And so, yeah, you can tell that he's obviously jealous.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Corvina's like, what are you talking about? Whatever. Next, we got a big event.
Yeah, this, like, I really didn't expect this.
Yeah. So Corvina is walking, you know, around the campus, and she notices, like, a commotion of people are surrounding this big tower, and she looks up, and she sees her friend Troy. And he's, like, at the edge of the tower, like he's going to jump.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly how Jade's friend
killed
themselves.
And in the exact same spot.
Right. So she's like, oh, my God. So she tries to run up there before he jumps to talk to him. And he seems different, or maybe, like, not himself.
Yeah.
And then she's trying to convince him, you know, don't do it. And he seems like, I don't know, he just is convinced that he has to do this. And he's like, he says, "Purple, tell my brother."
And then he fucking jumps
off. And then he jumps and he dies.
Yeah, because when he jumped, I remember reading the book. I was like, okay, he's not going to be dead.
Right.
Or some weird shit happened. Mm-hmm. And we're like, he disappears.
Yeah.
Or, nope, he splats on the ground and he's dead.
And we don't know who Troy's brother is. So it's interesting that he told her that, because we don't know what the context is yet.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously it unsettles Corvina, because she's like, why would he do this? Because he never came off, you know, and I will say in real life, you know, you don't always know if someone's going through something,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't seem to be going through much and he seemed to be happy. And again, you don't really know what people are going through.
Yeah. Yeah.
But absolutely. It's weird that he did the same spot that was done before. Right?
Same way.
Mm-hmm.
And had the same kind of, where, like, he seemed really happy,
yeah.
and then all of a sudden something changed, and then this happened.
Yeah.
So, Corvina is obviously very...
Distraught.
And Deverell finds her and takes her to his room, and he essentially tells her, I know that you're in the Psych Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, whoa, yeah. what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, you know and you're okay with it?
Right.
Like, how much do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you know?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's also some very big red flags, because at a psych institute, everything is...
supposed to be HIPAA.
Yeah, it's supposed to be privacy protection.
Right. And he knows about her mother.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it comes up already, but the letter she was trying to send, right, on her birthday,
mm-hmm.
was a letter to her mom.
Yeah.
And so I think, I don't know if it was because of that or why, but he knows that that's where the letter was going.
Mm-hmm. And we know that her mom is
still there.
Institute.
Right.
Yeah, and so that's where she's been sending her letters that seem to go unanswered.
Right.
Yeah.
So they, you know, cuddle.
Just some light cuddles.
Some light cuddles and, I don't know, fucking maybe.
Probably.
She ends up going to his bathroom and seeing a weird version of herself, I think, in the mirror, like something
mm-hmm.
creepy.
Yeah, she sees something ghostly.
And doesn't she, like, the mirror shatter, or she drops something or something?
She, like, kind of starts panicking,
okay.
and the mirror shatters.
Okay.
And then no one saw what she did
okay.
in the mirror.
Some weird shit going on. Some
mm-hmm.
weird shit. It's like the Chamber of Secrets has been opened.
Yeah, pretty much.
And after Troy's death, Jade, who was kind of close to Troy.
I think they were kind of ish dating or flirting,
yeah.
something like that.
She is obviously isolating to herself. And
she's not in a good headspace.
No.
I mean, she took a year off because her roommate killed herself, and now her, like, boyfriend killed himself.
Right.
So she's got a lot going on and definitely very much withdrawals.
Yes. So there's this place on campus called the Vault, and it's been closed up, but the teachers and students have like come together to open it up and make it like a study space or like a hangout space
yeah.
for students. And one night Corvina goes to the Vault and is just like trying to find a place to be alone and relax. But of course Vat is in there, and there's a piano and he's playing them Black and White Keys, like a soulful, no, I don't know.
Yeah.
And they talk about, she finally tells him about her voices.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he knew maybe that she was at the Psychiatric Institute, but maybe not like what it was for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
is this where he finds out about Mo?
It probably is. But
who's this man in your head?
He takes it very calmly and very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's a little bit, like, shooketh by that. But I think at this point, they already have, definitely, like, a almost unexplained deep connection
mm-hmm.
that kind of was right off the bat, which is why they had all that, like, sexual tension and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I think they already have a lot of trust for each other.
Yes. And finally, Vat is, he's convinced now. He, it's not going to be a one-time thing.
No.
And he definitely wants more than just her body.
Yep.
He wants her soul.
Her mind.
Her mind and her soul and her body.
Her body, her soul.
Yeah. And he says, this is happening, little crow.
Yeah, it is. Daddy Vlad or Vad. Whatever. Vad? That has to be. What is that short for? Vadimir? But that's just Vlad.
No, I don't. I think his name is just Vad in the book.
Who calls her son Vad? I shall name you Vad.
I don't know. It's a it's a gothic book.
I'm going to look up the meaning of the name.
So, Vad. Okay, so, yes, Corvina wants to call her mom's psychiatrist Dr. Delta. I don't know where that comes from.
That's so weird. It's like when I have patients that they have some sort of, like, protected health thing, they just give them, like, a name where it's like Delta 12.
Yeah, Sigma. So, Vad.
Okay, I looked up Vad. This
okay,
is
what
name.
Does it mean? Is it Russian?
Spanish.
Oh.
According to this.
Okay.
Or, I don't know. It's a variant of the valley. That can't be right.
Did you look up Vad name origin, or what did you look
I
up?
I said Vad name meaning.
Okay, that's what I would have said.
I guess I could say origin.
I mean, I
that
think
sounds better.
Vad is able to get Corvina a request to use a cell phone because they don't have their cell phones. They're not allowed to have phones.
Oh, wait.
What?
Sorry, I just found this is better.
Okay.
So this is supposed to be Hungarian, and the full name is Vadas, V-A-D-A-S.
Ooh, I like that, Vadas.
And it's from Vad, which means wild.
Oh, Runix, you did this.
That
you
has
did
to be
this.
It.
I like
and
that.
There's also one Americanized form, blah blah, hunter.
Oh,
but wild,
wild
seems
hunter. No, I like that.
Yeah, I was like, ain't no way she chose that name meaning valley.
No, absolutely. The valleys of his abs. No. Mm. Yeah. So she's able to call the psychiatrist and kind of get an update about her mom, who is okay. I don't remember.
I guess she's okay, but I think she also calls a psychiatrist to check
up
on
about
her because she's
worried,
seeing more things, hearing more things. And I don't know if we find out now or later, but we could just talk about it now. She essentially admitted herself to the psychiatric institute because her mom was admitted.
Yeah.
And she was raised by her mom. Mm-hmm. She also was hearing the voices. So essentially the things her mom was admitted for, she was having some of the same symptoms.
Yes.
So she admitted herself to see if she had the same thing or, you know, was she stable?
Right.
Was she, like, she was feeling crazy.
Yeah.
Wanted some, I guess, reassurance or help if she was having some similar symptoms.
And the psychiatrist essentially cleared her, was like, you aren't having, like, you don't have a disease.
Mm-hmm.
I can't explain the phenomenon that you're experiencing, but we don't think that you're sick enough to have to be in this inpatient hospital.
Yeah.
Because her mom can't take care of herself is the problem.
Mm-hmm. I think it was essentially Corvina is in this really interesting situation where she was raised alone by a mother who loved her with schizophrenia.
Yeah.
And so it's like nature versus nurture.
Right.
Is it that she has some schizophrenic qualities?
Right.
Or is it that she was raised by someone with schizophrenia and therefore that was her normal and that just became integrated in her life? It was really interesting.
It's a very interesting thought experiment because if you think about, like, having someone as a paranoid schizophrenic mother or father and you're raised alone, isolated, homeschooled, how would that child turn out? It's an interesting thought, right?
Yeah, and I think even the psychiatrist says, like, it's really incredible that her mom didn't, like, have these, like, episodes towards Corvina. And, like, really, it seemed like one of the things that got her through was this, like, very motherly love she had for Corvina. And that's why, like, Corvina was able to grow up as stably as she did.
It is very interesting.
Yeah.
So I think Dr. Delta tries to reassure her, but I think Corvina still isn't sure. Anyways.
Yeah.
Upon her phone call ending, there's a visitor at the school, and his name is
Ajax
Hunter.
He is the brother of Troy.
So, well. this is a person that we need to investigate.
Yeah, so we learned that he went to the school.
Mm-hmm.
He was like kind of Vad's age, so he was an older brother.
Yep.
And so Corvina meets him about the lake, and oh, I forgot about this. Ajax knew Vad from really young.
Yes.
And knew him at the boys' home, was there when the old lady told Vad about the purple eyes, because I think Ajax says something to Corvina like, holy shit, you have purple eyes.
Yeah. And another interesting find about Mr. Hunter is that he is an investigator.
Mm-hmm. He's like a, what is
like
it?
Like a private eye kind of thing.
Yeah, private investigator.
And so that's interesting, because if you think about it, like Troy saying, tell my brother. You know, that makes me think like something else was going on, or Troy, why would he want to tell? Unless it was just like, tell my brother I love him, and he just didn't complete the thought. Or it was like, tell my brother that something's going on, or like, I don't know.
Yeah, right? And why did he ask Corvina specifically?
Yeah.
I don't know. One of the things we also learn is Vad's inheritance. He owns the castle in the mountain.
He owns Varenmore. He inherited this property, the school, all the fucking land. He's rich as shit.
Yeah.
And he's like purposefully hiding that information to everybody.
Because not even the school board, I think, knows or whatever. And so she, I think, is kind of freaked out, and she runs and he chases her, and they essentially like have this moment where like, okay, let's fucking be honest with each other and tell me what the fuck is going on.
Because she's still scared about all these missing people, the rumors about him with the past girl that he was fucking. Yeah. And she starts to kind of be sus a little bit.
Yeah, she loves him.
Yeah.
But I think she has a lot of doubts about herself and her ability to judge things.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't know that she could trust the trust she has for him, which is very interesting. So Vad opens up about his some family history.
So it turns out that his grandfather, who also owned the property and whatever, he was one of the Slayers.
Yeah, you remember the people at school who would go and kill villagers for fun?
Right.
Yep.
And his, at the time, his girlfriend, I think, found out about that. And is that right? Do you remember this? So I think his girlfriend finds out about it or something, and puts like a tries to put a curse on him or something.
Right.
And
a curse on the Slayers.
Yes. And
because it was like, he essentially describes the slaying rituals as very sadistic.
Yes.
And very like,
like a cult type shit.
A cult. And almost like, have you, I haven't actually seen this movie, but there was like this movie trailer where it's like a bunch of rich people hire some like really poor people who really need money to hunt them. And they like play essentially a game. It's like, hey, we'll pay you a bunch of money because we're rich and bored.
Yeah.
And for the next 24 hours, we're going to hunt you and try to kill you.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It gives me that vibes with the Slayers, like the people doing that.
That's very just, Hunger like, Games.
Very sadistic, very twisted,
yeah.
Very like something's really wrong with this person.
Another major discovery is that when Vad found these things out, he was very distraught, upset, right? And he discloses to her that he actually, oh, wait, no, she suspects it, right? He doesn't tell her right now.
So,
does she just suspect?
People suspect it of him.
Okay.
Because his grandfather died and he inherited everything. The day that his grandfather told him about all of this, they were, like, at the top of the stairs, and Vad pushed him out of anger. But it pushed him down the stairs and resulted in his grandfather dying.
Okay.
So, Vad is kind of like, I may have killed my grandfather.
Okay. So he has a lot of guilt for that.
Yeah.
Next, Corvina essentially, you know, her and Vlad are still together. They are, they, you know.
They still fuck.
They still fuck, right? she's still having these weird flashes of things, like dreaming about bodies, especially in the lake in the woods, which triggers her to think, okay, maybe we should look into this. And she tells Vat about it because there's been all these missing people every 5 years or whatever. And so they have a team come out to search the lake, and they find bones.
Yep, they find fucking bodies, bro. It's rough.
Yeah.
It's roughy, toughy.
And
because then it's like, wow, so she dreamed this, and it was real. And it happened.
So what does it mean?
So it's like, damn. This again, we're like, how does a reader, we're like, is she, like, psychic?
Right.
I don't know.
Right. And there's this one day where Corvina, it's just really cute, but she's like doing tarot readings for everybody or people on campus that are like lining up. And Vad comes to do, like, to ask her to do one for him. And then she reads it. And it's like, and it like indirectly is a declaration of love.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that? It was so cute. It was really cute.
Really cute.
It was
really cute.
Because not people at the school don't know that they're together, obviously.
Right. Because, I mean, it looks not good.
Yeah.
For sure. So, and kind of the next thing is, I forget this.
So, Ajax and her, she tells Ajax that.
Oh, about the shack.
Well, about the shack, and also that Troy was weird during his suicide. And that he was like, tell your brother, and there's been all these weird things. She tells him about the shack. So, they go to investigate, and they find a body in the shack.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I forgot about this.
Yeah.
I don't
they
remember.
Don't reveal whose body it is yet. I think they find out later.
Okay.
The black
ball.
Oh,
I think I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, wow.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Damn.
So the black ball ensues. Mm-hmm. It's the fifth year, you know, and people go missing, whatever.
Yep.
Inhibitions are low. This party is like a fuck party, all right? It's everyone's getting drunk.
It's very carnal.
Very carnal. Vad fingers her in public.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
It gets pretty wild.
And then, essentially, of course, the rivalry can't go on all night. Jade and Roy are found missing.
Yes.
We also see that the ruins are on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And we end up finding that Roy is in the lake.
Yeah, she's, like, seemingly dead, but not. So she's, like, turned over in the lake, and they pull her out, and then she comes to, and she says, like, I don't remember what happened. I don't know how I got here.
Yeah. So you remember that dead person found in the shack?
Yeah.
Turns out it was Jade.
Huh?
Scott.
What? No. What? Jade? No. That can't be, because Jade was alive at the ball.
Yeah, nope.
So nope. Jade is not who she says she is. The actual Jade is dead. Is that what you're telling me?
That's what I'm telling you, lady.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Uh-huh.
That's fucking sketchy.
Then, in perfect timing, someone knocks out Corvina.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it's
Mystery Jade.
Jade. Question mark. Because essentially it's Jade, but not Drake.
Right.
And Corvina's paralyzed.
She... So, the backstory of who this mystery woman is.
Yeah.
Jade, okay, so mystery woman's grandmother was, oh, yes.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
Shit.
I forgot about this. Okay. So, Deverell's or Vad's grandfather,
mm-hmm.
who was cursed by his ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
This ex-girlfriend was this mystery woman's grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she has it out for Deverell.
Mm-hmm.
She has it out now for Corvina, for being with Deverell, whatever. And she... Wait, she wants Vad? I thought she just wanted to kill him.
I don't remember.
Or maybe she's just... She's crazy. She's just crazy, man.
Yeah, I think she, like... I think she wants him for herself.
Okay, so that's why she killed off the first girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And then she killed off Jade, probably because she found out about it or something. I don't know. Or maybe she just wanted her identity.
Yeah.
And now she's going after Corvina because Vad is not. Oh, because she's like super obsessed. She's like, Vad is mine. Whatever. We can't. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have him.
Mm-hmm. And then she essentially makes somehow, and we don't really know how, Corvina walk to the edge of the roof.
They're
of
on
the same tower.
The tower.
Yep.
You know, Corvina's about to fall off the edge. Mm-hmm. And then we realize as readers, okay, obviously this crazy loon has been making these people jump off, and they haven't actually been suicides.
Yeah.
Attempts.
It sounds like it's some sort of drug
magic
that she drugs
yeah.
them with.
Yeah.
And then it makes them like susceptible to
influence.
Yeah, influence. I don't know. And this is again where it's like
so vague.
What part is magical?
Right.
What part is this like real mm-hmm.
like hypnotizing people almost.
Yeah, I don't know.
Vad shows up and he's like he plays it. He's basically like, oh yeah, Jade, I love you. I want you.
Yeah.
Like trying to trick her into thinking that he does.
Mm.
And I think he's able to grab hold of her or something, and Corvina like falls to the ground, and then he pushes her, right?
Does he? I don't remember.
I think he pushes, or like he's holding on to her. She falls and he has hold of her, but then he loses his grip or something and
something.
She dies. I don't think he actually pushes her off. I think.
Yeah, I don't think so.
She falls to her death, but not, it was kind of accidental.
Yeah. So Corvina obviously is very overwhelmed. She's having a lot of voices in her head. She's super overwhelmed. And essentially Vad takes her to Dr. Delta. Or whatever. Is it Delta or like
I think it, I mean, it could be something else.
Could be something.
I could, it might just
Delta.
Be my spelling. I don't know. Yeah, so she, because of her family history, you know, she's susceptible to these moments of, like, losing in touch with reality. And so she stays there for 6 months to try to get back to a normal state.
Mm-hmm.
And at that, and during that time, Vad resigns as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, done with that shit. And eventually, when she gets out, he's like supported her through all this time, right? Like they're still together, you know, and
yeah, and he like has love for the university, but knew that it was like a really big trigger point for Corvina.
Yeah.
So that's why he resigned, that's why he kind of gave it up, to give her the time that she really needed to heal and process and move on.
So she gets out and they basically stay together and they move in together. They will often visit her mother at the institute. It's really nice.
They get married.
Yeah, this is like 5 years later, right?
Oh, yeah. 5 years later, they're married. They have like a winter home in the mountains.
And they have a son named Count.
Aww, that's so cute.
It's like Count Dracula, right? Vlad, yeah. Vad. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like it.
He essentially had a vasectomy and he got it reversed. Yeah. Corvina has like the small business.
Or is Count the dog?
I don't think it's their kid.
It's a dog.
I think it's the dog.
And then he had a vasectomy. He decides to get it reversed because they
want
to have
they
kids.
They want kids.
Right?
Yeah.
I was like, Count.
Yeah.
No,
like,
that's
no,
a dog.
Wait.
That's a dog, man.
And then she has like this cute little witchy shop.
Oh, yeah.
And you know the book Kathakana?
Oh, yeah.
Essentially, how like the author twisted at the end is that Kathakana is a almost like an autobiography written by Corvina.
Yeah.
About her time.
At Varamore.
Cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
And then finally, you know, Corvina is kind of feeling mentally stable and all these big changes in her life. She's like dealing with them really well. And she knows that Vad has a great attachment to the school and the property. So she's like, you know what? Let's go back. Let's go back to the castle.
Yeah. And that's the fucking end of the
book,
guys.
That's the end.
It really is like, I mean, again, like, all the questions, okay, how much of what Corvina was going through was that, like, mystical shit? How much was it her being, like, more susceptible to mental illness?
Yeah. Is she a soothsayer?
Yeah. And then, like, with Jade, how did she impersonate someone else? Did she look like Jade?
Right.
Did people not recognize her?
Right.
I don't know.
How did she control people? Like, how did the slayers get away with doing that for so long? Like, there's so much mystery of this book.
Yeah.
And it makes it
standalone.
Very, very sexy, very dark, and
yes,
I like it.
It's very ambiguous. You never know exactly what happened.
It was really fun because it's very different from a lot of the books we've read so far.
Yes.
It's its own genre, and I really liked doing something a little bit new. Honestly, I had a really good time. It's definitely my vibe.
Yeah, I love this vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said before, I usually hate ambiguity and things being left like unfinished.
Yeah.
Like the
Delirium series, right? Read the, I mean, no spoilers, but the final book of the trilogy really left a lot unfinished, yeah, and that really pissed me off. But like with this book, I liked
it, kind of wrapped it up pretty nicely.
I thought it did,
yeah. What do you think? I'm gonna give it, I don't know, I kind of want to give it a 5 or 4.5.
yeah, I think I'm gonna give it like a, God, I don't know.
I'm going to give it a 4.5.
I think I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay. I'm not going to go all the way to 5 because, again, it's not like...
Fives are so special.
Fives do feel very special.
Yeah.
But I really did like it, and I feel like it's definitely like a genre I really like and enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Me too. It's just... it's fun to not know.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely recommend it, especially for like spooky autumn vibes.
Oh, I love spooky autumn vibes. Because
we actually read this during, I think, October.
We did.
Which was, yeah, I love that.
It was very fun. It
was, and it's coming, stuff. This is coming out, what, in March or yeah, April? I don't know.
Yeah. LOL.
Your pre-summer read.
There you go. I mean, any day could be a spooky day.
Yeah, for sure.
Really.
I loved it.
I loved it too. And I, it just was very cool. Because I think, like we were talking about before the podcast, like with some books that deal with mental health,
yeah,
and also this like mysticism,
yeah,
it can be overdone or done in a way that's like
poorly,
very, I don't even know the word, like
in bad taste, yeah,
yeah, or like sensationalized, yes, with like the schizophrenia, right, or like some sort of mental illness, yeah. And I think this book did a good job of not doing that.
I think so too.
And kind of it, I mean, at the end, since Gothicon is supposed to be from Corvina's point, mm-hmm, of view, it really is like us as readers, like, don't know what's real, yeah, what's not, because Corvina, yeah, didn't know what's real and what's, yeah, not. And I think that was really cool.
It makes it fun because sometimes it's like the protagonist doesn't know, but the reader knows all. But
yes,
yeah,
yes.
And so this was fun because you didn't know anything either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's cool. It's a standalone. It's a quick read too. Mm-hmm. So it's just like one of those time, like, good vibes, and it's quick and easy.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for listening once again.
Yes.
Thank or you for the first listening time.
I hope you enjoyed, mm-hmm, these spooky vibes, because I sure did.
Me too. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.